Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon or good evening. This is George Gamond, and welcome to the show. Hope everybody's having a beautiful
Yesterday was kind of like a
disaster with Skype and me, so I tried not to do anything that kind of blew me off of Skype and had to restart the whole system. That's funny because Skype seems to get locked up, and then you have to reset the computer, restart the computer, and it's just not fun. So I'm here, and hopefully you're here, and we're going to talk about the word today is I have an article on obsession, and I seem to be obsessing about the word love, but not in a negative way, but in a very positive way. And what stirred me to kind of look
at some information about the idea of love
was I talked to clients, people, listeners, and they talk about, I can't embrace the word love, and I can't use the word love. And I got thinking about that. I thought, why? And I got into the definition of, because in the English language, we have love, and then the love can be defined in many different ways. But if you go back into the biblical or context of other languages, there are multiple words for the word love.
So let me get
about defining love. What is love generating as a feeling? And maybe we can use other words, or maybe you can just say, oh, okay, yeah, I'm going to use love in this context and not in those other contexts, or there's other definitions of the word love. So that's what I wanted to talk about. So I'm going to use what I wrote about love and something that I've been working on, which I found the article. Yesterday I couldn't find the article that I wrote, and I was getting really frustrated, but I finally found it, part of an ongoing thing I'm writing. And, well,
where shall we start?
Let's go to the Bible. I know it's a good source because people refer to the Bible, and it's the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 7. Now, and then we'll get into what the word love here is, the original meaning of the word love, as in how it's defined and how it's not defined. So this is, I guess, some people will call St. Paul, the Apostle Paul. Okay, however you want to describe it. Okay, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy.
It is not proud. It does not dishonor.
This is from the New International Version. Just kind of picked this one out of the hat, right? It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. That's kind of like forgiveness, isn't it? Yeah. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Isn't that an interesting way to look at the word love? Nowhere in this whole
sex, or love is about relationships.
Marriage or boyfriend, girlfriend. It's love is patient. Love is kind. Love is more of a verb than it is a whatever else term you want to use there. It does not envy. So look at that. But let's go back and let's define the word love as in what was meant in the original language. Okay, we can do that. So let's go to Greek. Let's go to Greece. Oh, okay. I'm going to hang out on the Greek Isles for a little while and, you know, sunbathe and, you know, drink some ouzo.
Or we can just go to
the Answers website, neverthirsty.org. Okay, that's an interesting thing. So it goes into the four words for love. And we use those four words. Agape. Now, there's a group called Agape. And so you wonder sometimes, where do they get this name Agape? What does that mean? What's a form of love? The word was used in Greek literature to refer to someone who is generously favored by a god. Ooh. So you could say that loved by a god, favored.
But two-way street. It has the
his or her love for the favor to another. It was used to speak of parents giving all their love to their only child. So in the New Testament, it is used to make the same point. God gives each of us all of his love. Okay, her love, you know. You know what I mean? So it's really kind of that love between an individual and the divine, however you would use it. So when you say of God, and I've also learned it as defining it as, it's a principle love. It's a love of something of righteousness. It's a love of the
context. Then
so when you use the word, I don't like love, I don't like to use the word love, you're kind of ruling out this whole relationship things with the source energy, with God. The love that was given to you that allows us to be who we are. The I am, to use the expression I use, that the I am within all of us is love that flows through us. And scientists will say, some scientists will say that the core of all there is, the essence of all there is, if you get down to below the atomic.
So that's the agape.
It's that I am active force that comes through us, to us, is that love. So I think that's really important to, when I say I don't love, I can't love, I can't use the word love. Well, I would say, is it agape that you can't use? Well, maybe you can use the word love. Okay, phileo. This Greek word has the idea of emotional love. Well, agape emphasizes the complete giving of love to another person. Or
emphasizes the affection, emotion
has for another. Kind of brothership. You know, Philadelphia came from this word. Brotherly love, you know, between two people. Again, we're not into romance here. We're just the feeling, that connection, that emotion, that fondness that you have for another. It could be a best friend. As you're growing up, you have this best friend. And that's the relationship. That's that love that you would have. Or maybe it's a teacher that you respect and you say, I love my teacher. Teacher is really great. You know, phileo, right? And it doesn't, it's,
keep going here and we'll get back to this
in a moment. Okay, next one is eros. Ah, this is where we get all tripped up. This is the word that people can't say, I can't love. Okay, this is the word that people all tripped up on. And this is the word eros, E-R-O-S. Eros refers to love between a husband and wife, a boyfriend, girlfriend, or, you know, girlfriend, you know, sexual. It's that romantic love. It's more than sexual ecstasy because it includes embraces, longing, and caring. Well, I would
editorializing a little bit, but it's that
love. It's between two people. Now, so when you say, I can't use the word love, are you really referring to eros? I can't love another person because I've been hurt in relationships. I can't go there. But I can love as in loving my neighbor as myself, right? That phileo or agape. I can love God. I can love the universe because God gave me love to be here. I can exchange that love. So I don't want to sound
I can't use the word love.
Really? Seriously? What are you referring to? Okay, the next one is surrogo. Surrogo primarily refers to a love between parents and children. It sometimes refers to a love between people and their ruler. Now, I've heard it that way. It's the, you know, the love that you have for the president, okay? Or your congressman. Or your boss. I don't know. But, okay, so it's somebody in authority. But it's between parents and children. So, and then I think, and I love this last part. It says, and to love between a dog and his owner.
You know, there's a connection.
You can't say I love somebody romantically. You can say I love my dog. I love my cat. Stergo. I can love, you know, if you're really into the president, you can say I love my president. Or I love my boss. But it's not romantic. So I get into all this because, once again, be careful when you say, I can't use the word love. Define yourself. In what terms, under what definition of the word love can't you use? Okay? So I hope that clarifies a little bit about it. I have more stuff on that.
I love your own relations.
If you'd like. And situations. And how love it applies to you. And there's an article I'm going to cover in a few minutes. But I talk about love versus fear. Because that covers all the different aspects of love. And that kind of replaces fear, doesn't it? Okay, let me get into what I wrote. My own tooting of my own horn a little bit. Yeah, okay. Let me get into the definitions of love that I came up with. And spirit. Find love. And this is the aspects of love. And you can, from what I read, you probably would say this is agape. Okay? Compassion. Respect, kindness, forgiveness, generosity of the spirit. Now, I could use the word altruism there, of being altruistic, right? The word I never put in here, but I really need to put in here, and I'm going to put it in here right now. Okay, generosity of spirit, humor, trust, humility, and appreciation. But just before I put in the... Before I put in the word appreciation, I'm going to drop in the word empathy. Having empathy for another person, that's a form of love. It really is a form of love. Because when you can walk in somebody else's shoes and understand where they're coming from, it really, you can display love to that person. Okay? That's what I believe. Strongly, full-heartedly, completely. Okay? Okay, let me give you something, some of the things I
wrote. I wrote this question. Oh, a couple years.
Just got back to it because I thought, hey, this is good stuff for the topic we're talking about. Okay, love shared between two enlightened souls are pure oneness with God. This is kind of in a poetic form, so we'll kind of go it from that direction. So there's, I'm not going to get into definition here. I'm just going to explain, love is the light that goes on when your partner enters a room. Isn't that beautiful? I like that one. Love is the compromises you make of me for us. Ooh, the compromises you make
for the group, for the family.
Of differences that grows your beings. Love is the experiences together and apart that build your bond. Love is the adversity that you overcome that purifies your partner. Now, this is a lot of this is love between two people, but you can take it into family situations, whatever, relationships. You know when it is love between two when your needs are being met. Is that right? Isn't that interesting? Love is, you know, when there's love between two.
Being met.
It's not selfish, right? Forgiveness flows easily. You deeply appreciate each other. The desire grows over the years. It's not just something that happens in the first 3 months and then the desire for the other person kind of drifts away and becomes nothing over time, right? It's something that grows over time. It's like that deepening of appreciation for another person grows. Okay, you are quick to react with kindness and compassion to each other. Now, we'll get back to the theme that I'm talking about. You know when, you know it is love between two people.
Act with kindness and compassion.
You are very generous with each other. You both listen and don't take each other for granted. Don't say it was always easy. Didn't say it was always easy. So the power of love can move mountains. I keep going on and on and on. But, okay, feel it in your heart and take action. So that's kind. That's a little bit I wrote on love, and that's just part of the article that I was writing. It's part of a book that I've been working on about and an idea of a foundation, a group, a nonprofit to promote love.
But also, yeah.
And romantic love. It's always good to promote romantic love, isn't it? Oh, I have a person in the chat room. I like that. You like what? I mean, I'm not trying to be... I don't mean that in a mean and nasty way. What do you like? What do you like? What did I write that you kind of responded to? And if I can put something out there, and if somebody goes, oh, yeah, I like that particular one. Yeah, that one doesn't mean anything to me, but I like that point. Then I've done my job, right? It doesn't have to be everything you write or everything you do. But if I can touch somebody's heart.
Brings out something within them.
Oh, okay. If it can bring something out in them. Okay. Which one should I go to? I got a couple articles I wanted to read. And we're going to go to different ones. Oh, 10 Ways to Turn a Bad Day Around. I like this one. This is a great article. And I always get these articles only because I really love to take your calls and hear what's going on with you and see if your questions are for spirit. But in the meantime, you know, I don't want dead air for 40.
That's right. How many people?
5 minutes without even taking a break. You know, you watch a TV show, and it's usually about 40 minutes, but there's commercials. And I have no commercials. Okay. I could do commercials. Yeah, but, well, it's just not right now. Let's get into 10 ways to turn a bad day. Anybody ever have a bad day? You know, it seems to start off that way and compounds itself, doesn't it? It starts off bad, and it seems to get worse unless you can break that cycle somehow, some way. Break it, you know. Break that cycle.
Look at this article, and it.
Because everything I talk about today, I'm going to try to tie in the idea of love. Okay, this is an article, and the author is Alex Blackwell. Ooh, don't know Alex Blackwell, but that's all right. He's a father, husband, and writer. He writes about inspiring things on his blog, Everyday Inspiration. And the Bridge Maker. You know, I've been thinking about doing a blog like that. Not just writing, but a verbal blog. Or actually a podcast is what I would call it. Blogs are written, podcasts are not written.
I'm thinking about doing a podcast. It's kind of
something that you can listen to and put on your iPad or iPhone or whatever. Or your Android. So let's get into his article a little bit. Not all days start off well. Some of them might end a little worse. Small, trivial things can trigger bad days, like sleeping past the alarm. Or this morning, my alarm went off early, and I didn't realize I had set it up for certain days to go off early. And I'm up, and I'm running around, and I'm going, wait a minute, I could still be sleeping. No! Okay, but it got my day off to a good start. Got going early. Then I realized, well, maybe I should
day off to a better, faster start. Well, whatever.
Some days you go, hit the snooze. Okay, so getting in a spat with your partner or spilling mustard on your shirt or your tie or coffee all over some paper, right? Oh, no. But you don't need to stress if your day seems to be zapping your energy and making you unhappy or frustrated. Here are 10 simple things that you can help turn your bad day around. Yeah, I call it pivoting, and Abraham Material calls it pivoting, turning things around, just shifting things. Okay, we'll go.
Some Pam Graham material.
If we have time, or if you call in, we can talk about what's going on in your lives, and which I'd like to do, which I'd rather be doing, okay? Journal about what is causing the bad day. Sometimes the best way to relieve stress and tension that result from a bad day is journaling about it, what caused it. This will enable you to understand why you are having a bad day and what you can do to turn it around. You might find yourself happier and stress-free after writing about your day. Now, there's actually...
It's an idiomotor
response that you're actually transferring from your body that stress and putting it on the piece of paper. You're actually physically doing something that releases the stress by writing, handwriting, you know, pen, pencil on a piece of paper, I don't think it works as well typing on a keyboard. I've never tried it that way, but handwriting is the way to do it. Just that movement of the hand and passing that energy off onto that paper. You might want to burn it afterwards if it's that frustrating a day. You know, I keep it around. Keep that energy around you all the time. I love this next one.
So how I
are effective. I'm asking spirit, and I'm getting little answers why these are effective. Cook a meal. Cooking is one of the best activities you can enjoy in order to turn a bad day around. It will allow you to focus on preparing that specific recipe. Well, first of all, it distracts you, right? It distracts you from what's going on because you got to prepare, you got to plan, you got to put stuff together, and you will find yourself more relaxed after you are done. But also, cooking opens up the senses. The sense of smell, the sense of taste, the textural, the kinesthetic.
Because normally when you're preparing a meal, you
have to wash it, you have to chop it. You actually get physically involved in preparing the food. Now, I would say that you want to do some of these other steps first because you don't want to pass all this negative energy into your food. It can help you feel good. Preparing a meal and the smell and everything. But we do transference of energy. And you don't want to put all that negative stuff in your food. You got a frustrated day and I'm angry and everything's going on and I can't stand it. And I'm going to cook and I'm going to take all that energy and I'm going to put it in the food and give it to my family.
So cooking the food might
be last things you do to just kind of help you relax a little bit more and enjoy the process. And that way you avoid putting all that negative stuff that you've been carrying around in your food. You ever think about that? You want to prepare food when you're feeling good, right? Because you want that all that positive juice and positive energy going into the food. So if you're sharing it with others, even if you're sharing it with yourself, you want a lot of positivity going into the food. You don't want to infuse that food, the things that you're going to take into your body and your family's body, even your pets getting their food ready.
Right. Your dog's not going
to. Your cat's going to go, what is he doing to me now, right? What has she got on her agenda? Cats can be very finicky. They're very energy sensitive. You know that. We all know that. My dog will eat anything just about. Okay, watch a funny movie. Now, you might want to start here. This is a good place to start. I'm kind of revising their order a little bit. Laughing can help you release endorphins, which will inevitably lead you to feeling better, even though your day is pretty bad. Now, this is
in your state. So if you're in a crowd,
what you do is change your state. You're trying to be happy. You're trying to feel good. Watching a funny movie will do that. When you choose from a wide variety of films. Now, I would ask you, just for kind of like getting people kind of involved in this, what funny movies would you watch? Well, that's it. I'm flipping back and forth between the article and the thing. Love you. Love you. I guess you would, you know, listen to your heart in that case, isn't it? What kind of energy are I love the old Marx Brothers movie. Yeah, Groucho was amazing, wasn't he? Okay, what kind of energy are they putting out when they say love you? I think in the context of the situation, you can figure out what kind of love they mean. Is it eros? Is it romantic love? Whoa. Yeah. Or is it more of the family, the stero of the philia? What is it? Which one? Agape? I don't think it's agape. Nah, probably not. It's probably more flippant.
That is intensity of love.
You and source energy. Well, yeah. Well, I was a big... Okay, talking about movies and funny movies, I was a big Mel Brooks fan, you know, when he was doing his movies. Now he's like 80s and he's retired and, you know, just kicking back, right? But yeah, Mel Brooks, Young Frankenstein, and the all-time favorite, Blazing Saddles. Okay, well, I watched Blazing Saddles not long ago. It still cracks me up. Okay, we won't get into the specifics. And yeah, Young Frankenstein was a classic.
Her bad day around. Now, it says
exactly as laughing, running can contribute to releasing endorphins and decreasing cortisol production, which is the stress hormone, thereby resulting in no stress. If your day is bad, go for a run. Now, I would say go for a walk. Go out in nature. Walk. You don't have to run. A brisk walk will do the same thing. Oh, no. The runners are going, no, you got to run. You got to run. I go, take go for a walk. Okay. Close your eyes and breathe. I like this. Using various breathing techniques, you can allow you to calm down.
Clear. Here's the key point. Clear
your mind. If you had a stressful day, and there's another article I can get into about obsession, you don't want to obsess on what went wrong. If you're trying to breathe and take a nice, refreshing breaths and relax a little bit, you don't want to be obsessive on what went wrong and all the things they're done and this person doesn't love me anymore and all that stuff, right? So you want to clear your mind. You want to think about happy thoughts. You want to go to a happy place. Clear your mind and visualize going into a happy place. Now, I don't know if that was the next one or not, next point or not, but clear your mind, doing some breathing, and going to
a small pier looking like.
Well, do the beautiful lake in your mind or the ocean or whatever it is that feels good to you. Just go there. Just go there in your head, right? I love the next one. This is one of my favorite all-time ways to get over a bad day. Grab a bite of chocolate. Ooh. Now, I know, there are people who don't like chocolate. And they ought to just be put on some island by themselves somewhere. Leave the rest of us alone, right? I don't like chocolate. Oh, man, people, stop it. Everyone loves chocolate. Taking a bite can make you feel
found in minutes. Whether we
dark or milk chocolate, all options will make you feel sweeter. Ooh, bite your get some chocolate. I use dark chocolate. I've got some in my refrigerator that I should be partaking of. Yesterday I should have had a whole bunch of chocolate because it was really frustrating for a while there till everything kind of calmed down. But so, have some chocolate. Yeah. Whoa. And there's chemicals in the chocolate that, you know, it's all about tricking the mind by giving it something that produces these good feeling chemicals, right? It's all about feel-good chemicals in the brain, right?
Oxytocin, we got to get some oxytocin.
Oxytocin is that feel-good hormone, right? Okay. Ask for a hug. Feeling physically close to another human being will help you feel better. And oxytocin, releasing it, you know, get your... Some people say 12 hugs a day. Wow. Ask for a hug. And you will definitely start to forget about your bad day and everything that went wrong. Yeah, because you're releasing oxytocin in your brain. It's a chemical process, right? The magic is in what... You know, it's a magic on... It, and you can, I believe in the concept of evolution, a guide
through our process of growth.
Thousands and thousands of years we've developed into who we are now. The spirit has been along going, let's tweak them here. Let's do this. It's like we're a science lab of something for the non-physical world, right? And somewhere along the line, they said, let them hug. They'll feel better. That oxytocin thing, you know, and those people who felt better, actually, they stayed on along and the rest of them kind of went away, right? So make a gratitude list or appreciation list. Rants of appreciations.
No, you might not be thinking of
too often. There are many things that you can be grateful for or appreciate. You know, appreciate that the radio show is working today. I appreciate the callers. I appreciate people that come into the chat room. Start with the little things. Make a gratitude list. And this will show you that there is no reason to feel down just because of a bad day. You can appreciate that the shower worked in the morning and the water was warm. You know, you can appreciate you have matching pairs of socks. That's for men, I guess. Or matching, you put the right shoes on. I really appreciate the fact that it was in the dark and I put the right shoes on.
You ever see people who kind of don't do it right.
Well, chocolate should be on the top of everybody's food pyramid. You know, somewhere up there with, you know, lettuce. I don't know. Yeah, broccoli. Broccoli and chocolate. In whatever order you pick it, right? I haven't had any broccoli lately. You know, I go to buy broccoli, and there's just me. And if I buy a big clump of broccoli, a head of block broccoli, you know, like the whatever they call it. Yeah, something like that. Whatever it's called, right? It always goes bad by the time I finish it. So I get frustrated buying broccoli.
Enough, and I'm not sitting there
going
to munch
on salad. I'll hide it next to the carrots. I'll put it next to the carrots, and I'll put it next to the cucumber and maybe the avocado, and drop a little avocado on my broccoli to make it feel taste a little better. So I'm not a big broccoli person, but I know it's really good for you. So eat your broccoli, right? Then eat your chocolate. Yes. I call them appreciation, gratitude. They're very similar words. There's a little slight difference between the two, but that doesn't matter.
We're talking about the word love.
This whole thing about 10 ways to turn a bad day into turn it around is really, this is about loving yourself. You know, you've had a bad day. People have been dumping on you. Your boss has been a jerk. And you know, it's just like, I can't deal with this. So these are 10 ways to kind of deal with that. The next one is one of my favorites in the whole world, too. See, they're all my favorites. Everything's my favorite, right? Everything. Everything on the list is my favorite. All 10 of them. Caress your pet. And then we're back to oxytocin again. And there's something about the relationships.
And oxytocin. And that
energy. Studies have showed that caressing a pet can help individuals feel loved and release stress. If you have a cat or dog, start caressing them, even play with them, and your day will become better. Yeah, it's oxytocin again. One more time, that feel-good chemical that goes off in the body, that hormone called oxytocin. And, you know, there's another benefit to that. And science has proven that, because I read all these articles from science. Ooh, science. That when you hug your dog, they get the same kick within the brain. If you're playing with your
dog's eyes, it kicks off.
And so they have a feel good. They have that chemical reaction. Also, they got that love chemical going on. So you and the dog are kind of, I think it's that cats are kind of that way, but I'm not sure if cats get it the same intensity as dogs. Yeah, we've been around dogs for a long time. Okay? We've been around dogs for a long time, longer than cats. So cats are kind of there, but, you know, they're more independent. I hold my cat for a while, and she looks at me like, okay, when are you going to put me down? We did enough of this love stuff. I purred for a couple minutes for you.
But you didn't feed me, so why?
Okay, listen to music. Music has the treasured ability to lift your spirits, distracting your attention from everyday problems. If your day was bad, grab your headphones and listen to your favorite songs. I would say listen to inspiring music. That might be, you know, the thing to do. I love a variety of music, and most of my friends love a variety of music. But if you're having a bad day, Metallica may not be the best music for you. I don't know, right? Ozzy Osbourne.
But I tell you what is good for your brain.
Find some Mozart symphonies. Put Mozart on your headphones. Find Mozart and put it in your brain. Now, because it's good for the brain. You'll lay more eggs. Now, the chickens lay more eggs. You won't. But chickens lay more eggs with Mozart. Listen to a little Mozart. And if you got a problem and you're trying to solve a problem, and you're kind of in that funk where I can't get the answer. I can't come up with the answer. I don't know what to do. Put a little Mozart, relax, and the answers will come to you. Bam, done.
See, I hear my. There's others.
Good. Beethoven's really good for the heart. You know, heart. Beethoven, especially the Ninth Symphony, it really works well with the heart and heart healing. So if you feel a little down, you feel like I need to perk up my heart a little bit, feel better, get a little Beethoven going. Mozart, Beethoven, and I don't know about some of the other symphonies, but that's good. I'm not a big violin person. I think I like Beethoven because I like the horns. I mean, the horns. I love the French horn. Anybody have a favorite instrument? I mean, in a symphony? Some people love.
But I want them kind of in the back. The horn.
Yeah. And some people want to hear the violins. I like the cello. I like the oboe. The woodwind instruments. I played clarinet for years, so maybe I'm just kind of prejudiced that direction. Okay, we're having fun. I'm just kind of all over the place. But it feels good. Use music that feels good to you. It doesn't have to be Mozart. Pick an artist. Pick some music that's inspiring to you. And go for it, right? Go for it. Okay, let me get to the next one. 10 ways. I think that.
No more ways to feel good.
Oh, no. No. We can't be done, right? We can't be done. So no questions in the chat room. No thoughts. No comments. No comments about what kind of music do you love? What makes you feel good? I love people to share in the chat room. Nope. Okay. I'll let you think about that for a moment. If you want to feel good, what kind of music do you put on? Is it the Grateful Dead? Is it Frank Sinatra? Is it a big band orchestra? Is it jazz? Is it Herbie Hancock? Is it Miles Davis?
There's all kinds of articles.
Yeah, okay. Is it the Rolling Stones? Is it the Beatles? I don't know. What's going on with you guys? Is it James Taylor? Is it whatever? Okay, let me get into another article. We had fun with that one. Let's get into this 15 ways to stop obsessing. No, let's not do that today. Maybe another day. I'll be back on today's Tuesday. I'll be back on Thursday, and we'll do more. Okay, 5 ways to you can practice mindfulness today.
You're aware of yourself, right? Mindfulness.
Seek nourishment and healing. Wow, that's, wait a minute, let me go back to Wayback Machine here. Go back to the beginning, if I can get back to the beginning. Oh, well, I went through the whole article and forgot to go back to the beginning. Okay, well, we'll try to start from the beginning instead of the middle. That was the end, right? I went to the end first. Why? Way back. Okay, guys, have any comments? Okay, essential practices. Thich Nhat Hanh, the Mindfulness Survivor Kit, provides essential practices for every day, regardless of faith or beliefs, looking for ways to become more in tune with themselves.
Quick look at these
mindfulness trainings. Okay, I'll check back with you guys in a minute, see if you have any questions, thoughts, or comments. Just kind of keep moving along here, having some fun. Practice reverence for life. I like that. Practice reverence for life. The first mindfulness training is to focus on lives of others. Ooh, any harmful actions that would jeopardize or neglect our brothers and sisters all come from fear and anger, greed, and intolerance. Practice a sense
to overcome these emotions and transform
the world. So if you look at those words, fear, anger, greed, and tolerance, those are negative words. That's fear. So you move to love. You move to philia. You move to the principle love or love between two individuals. Yes, that friendship love, that love of one's brother. Love your brother as yourself. Ooh, a reverence for other people. Interesting. It's love, isn't it? Loving other people. Sometimes it's putting them first, being altruistic. It's not about what you're going to get. It's what
you're good for help.
It's not the financial rewards and all that craziness. It's the feel good for helping of others. Seek true happiness. This is an interesting statement. Practice generosity in thinking, speaking, and acting. Rather than stealing, share both your possessions and your time and energy. You will find that the happiness of others and your own is intrinsically involved, linked, I mean. Most importantly, seek happiness for yourself that comes from compassion, not wealth, faith.
Happiness for yourself.
Compassion. We're back to love, right? Back to love. Compassion. Compassion for oneself. Compassion for others. Happiness comes from the sense of being satisfied and comfortable with your life, I believe. And not seeking more than what you realistically can manifest in your life. Because people are unhappy. No, no, sound time again. Session show on Thursday. We'll keep that article and go through it. I just didn't have time right now to get into the whole thing about obsessing. I'll give you one little clue on that obsession thing if you can hear me, and hopefully this thing's not cutting out like it's been in the past. Obsession is really doubt, supercharged doubt. And that was the definition I heard for obsession. It's doubt on superchargers or doubt on steroids or whatever you want to call it. So it's an extreme case of doubt.
Because you're obsessing something because you're not
about something that feels good or something really, really positive in your life. That would be good if you could just obsess on all that beauty that's in your life and all that love that's in your life and all those wonderful things that are happening in your life. But most obsession, and we won't talk too much about that today, but most of the obsession you have is fear. I wonder how that's going to turn out. What's going to happen with that? Oh my, I made that mistake, and I wonder what's going to happen. Are they going to get me for that? Are they going to turn me in for that? Oh no, what's going to happen? Am I going to get the money I need to pay that bill? I don't know. Ooh, you know, it's
that you will be
that you really need, that you're expecting or hoping from the universe will come to you. Okay, so we won't talk too much about that. We'll talk more about that on Thursday. So true happiness. Interesting thought, huh? True happiness. I like this next one. Seek true love. It is important to understand that sexual desire does not equal love. Really? Oh, my. No, I'm kidding. I know that's not true. Sexual activity motivated only by physical desire harms everyone involved and must be instead be coupled with authentic love.
Right. I've never had a girlfriend.
Being a Buddhist monk. Okay, never mind. Practice controlling and understanding your behavior in order to develop more sustaining and rewarding relationships. Kind of, I agree and I disagree, but I don't want to get too much into that. But that chemistry between two people and the sexual attraction is kind of like what pops open the well where you can go in deep love from. That science has proven that. And, you know, relationship counseling has proven that you have to have that chemistry to start with.
It's the glue
for the other person is the glue for a relationship going for a long time. And it morphs into love and it morphs into that relationship. But you never lose that chemistry. You never lose that love. Because once you have it, once you have that passion for another person, regardless of how much the body changes and the bodies change, it builds a love that's so strong between two people. Now, you can destroy it, and you can tear it apart, but if you nurture it and grow it,
and give it the water,
it's going to continue to grow. Okay, enough of that. So thank you for listening. Thank you for those in the chat room who commented today's show. Hopefully those who listen to the show later and have been asking me about love will have a better idea of what I mean by love, and I appreciate everyone. I love you guys. And I won't try to define that in any particular word. Thank you. Bye.